Welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Mastermind Radio. I got to tell you guys, I went out and found a rather amazing new resource for us to learn from, both here at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio and at I Carry the Bag. I found Heidi Grant Halvorsen, and the way that I found her actually was through reading a story at Harvard Business Review. As a matter of fact, at Harvard Business Review, Heidi just had the number one all-time read post, which is quite extraordinary. Dr. Halvorsen has been a blogger at Fast Company, Huffington Post, Psychology Today, and she's a member of the Board of Advisors for the Motivation Science Center at Columbia University Business School. She's got a new book coming out called Succeed, How We Can Reach Our Goals. It is our pleasure at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio to welcome Dr. Heidi Grant Halvorsen. Welcome, Doctor.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Rob.
It's so nice to have you here.
Great to be here.
And one of the things that was attractive about having you as a contributor to leverage some of your well of information was that your approach is a little bit different. Tell us about that, because in our pre-discussion, you mm-hmm. said some really interesting things about how your angle, how your approach to this community of success slash now success in sales, mm-hmm. is different. Tell us about that, please.
Well, I think because by training, I really come from the scientific community. I'm a researcher by training. And I think one of the things I found when I was writing the book and as I've been writing for different outlets and engaging more and more with people in business and particularly in sales is that a lot of the advice that's out there, while certainly well-intentioned, is very difficult for people to apply. It's not necessarily very useful for them. And there are really two reasons for that. One is that most of the advice that people are giving in terms of sales is really kind of anecdotal. It comes from their own experience. And the problem there is that people are not always right about what makes them successful. They can reflect on their past experiences. We're very good at telling ourselves stories about, oh, this is the reason why I've always been so successful. This is the reason why my sales are so high. And it often turns out, actually, research suggests that we're often wrong about why we have been successful or have been unsuccessful in the past. So a lot of the advice that's out there isn't really very trustworthy because people can be wrong about their own past experience. And I think the second reason why it's often difficult to apply the advice you'll get is that it doesn't necessarily apply to you particularly well. It doesn't apply to your audience, the people that you're trying to sell to, who may be motivated differently than the audience that another person tries to sell to. So what I try to do in my approach is really take a step back and look at everything from a more objective perspective and using lots and lots of data, hundreds and hundreds of studies, looking at what kind of works objectively across the board. So what kinds of strategies are useful no matter who your audience is? And what kinds of strategies are very useful for a certain kind of audience but maybe not at all useful for another kind? And by identifying principles that really kind of work across situations, you're able to give people much more powerful tools that they can use to help themselves to succeed and reach their maximum potential.
You know, I'm going to throw you a curveball for a minute. Mm-hmm. While we were talking, I went to click back on this most popular post, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to have relevance to the upcoming story that you're doing for I Carry the Bag magazine for the fall issue. I know we're going to be talking about promotion focus versus prevention focus.
That's right.
And so we'll get to that if it's okay in just a second.
Sure.
But you wrote this post called, and it rings so powerfully. 9 things successful people do differently.
Mm-hmm.
There's 9. All 9 are arguably quite important.
Right.
If you had to pick out a couple that our listeners on the road, on the fly, can take into their day right now, what would be 1 or 2 that are kind of at the top of your list?
Okay, well, let's see. At the top of the list of the 9, I mean, they're all important, but I think there are a couple of things that uh, that we often make, the kinds of mistakes that we make when trying to reach a goal. One is something, I think it's number 4 or 5 on the list, is I talk about being the importance of being a realistic optimist.
Okay.
You hear a lot of people talking, especially these days, about the power of positive thinking. And this is an idea that's been around a lot, that we should all sort of run around believing that, you know, visualizing success, and if we just are ruthlessly optimistic and we don't tolerate any kind of negative thinking, thinking about obstacles, then we're going to sort of will ourselves into being the most successful people we can be. And that turns out to be really totally wrong. It is indeed important to be optimistic, but you have to be careful about the kind of optimism that you engage in. And there are really 2 kinds. There's being what I call an unrealistic optimist, which is the kind of person I just described, where you run around kind of believing success will happen to you if you just have positive thoughts.
Isn't that kind of like the secret thing?
Yes, it's, well, I'd like to not name names, but it's that kind of thing.
I'll name names.
Where, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that kind of thing, right? It sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean,
if I'm willing to be so, it'll happen.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm just, and people feel then when they do encounter problems, when they aren't as successful, that it's sort of their fault because, well, gee, I must not have been positive enough. And this turns out to be wrong. While it's very important to believe that you can succeed, while that is extremely motivating, it's also very important to understand that success is something you have to make happen, right? That it doesn't just happen to you. We find that when people believe success will happen to them, that they actually, it's like a recipe for failure. It's actually setting you up for disappointment because you're not going to be prepared to handle the difficulties that you'll encounter along the way, because almost every goal that's actually worth achieving is actually difficult to achieve. There are obstacles. You have to engage in some planning, and you actually have to think about those obstacles. People call that negative thinking, but really it isn't. It's actually very smart thinking. You want to combine believing you can succeed with believing that you can actually make success happen by thinking carefully about the obstacles that lie in your path and how you're going to handle them and planning out how you're going to handle them in advance. That is actually realistic optimism, and that is a recipe for success. So that's one, I would say, of the major themes that I actually talk a lot about, this difference between the kind of positive thinking that's good for you and the kind of positive thinking that's really, as I said, sort of a recipe for failure. And then I think one of the other things I talk about on the list that's very important is seizing moments to act on your goals. This is something that we, again, routinely fail to do, that we all have a lot of goals we're trying to achieve at the same time, professionally, personally, and it's very, very easy to miss chances to act on those goals throughout the day because, you know, they happen, but we miss them because we're too busy doing other things. And so there's a kind of planning I talk about called if-then planning, where you think about not only what are the actions I need to take to reach my goals, but exactly when and where am I going to take them. It turns out this very simple form, not all planning is effective. This particular kind of planning increases success rates on average 300%. So just taking a moment, literally, to say, okay, these are the things that I need to do in order to reach this goal that I have, break them down into the actual behaviors you need to engage in, and then for each one, say, when and where am I going to do this? And once you've done that, and you don't even have to write it down if you don't want to, but once you've done that, your brain becomes really tuned in to grabbing that moment when it occurs, and then the behavior kind of comes naturally, and we find, like I said, on average, people are 3 times as successful when they use this particular kind of planning technique, whether it's a professional goal or it's weight loss or you want to remember to recycle. It doesn't really seem to matter what kind of goal it is. It's just you get dramatically higher success rates.
Let me take a minute and remind our viewers that, you know, interviews like this come courtesy of I Carry the Bag magazine. And I Carry the Bag magazine, for those of you that don't know, is the only magazine on the planet that focuses on the art, science, and lifestyle of this great profession of wholesaling. So if you're a hybrid wholesaler, internal wholesaler, external wholesaler, divisional manager, national sales manager, it doesn't matter. Go to iCarryTheBag.com, grab a subscription. If you get one for yourself as an external, your internal will have the pleasure of enjoying it for free. And you'll read a column from Dr. Halverson, coming up in the fall issue, and real quickly, Doctor, let's just tease that a little bit. Specifically, we're gonna take a look at two different focuses to take in the sales process: promotion focus, prevention focus. And we're not going to give too much away here because we want people to read your work there.
Right.
But just briefly, if you were to whet our taste buds, what's that going to be about?
Well, the idea is that not everyone thinks about risk the same way. And there's more than one way to look at any goal. And what I'm going to talk about in the piece that I'm writing for I Carry the Bag is really how to identify motivationally what your audience wants and whether or not they are going to be the kind of audience that is naturally predisposed to embracing risk and seizing opportunity, or if they're the kind of audience that naturally, just as a function of how they look at their goals, are going to be people who are risk-averse. They're more conservative, more likely to embrace the status quo. The good news is that once you have identified your audience and you can figure out motivationally what appeals to them, whether it's risk or a more conservative approach, then there's actually a way to tailor your sales pitch so that you can actually get risk-averse people to embrace risk, and you can get people who love risk to accept a more conservative approach, depending on how you talk about the options you're offering. So what I'm hoping to give is some very concrete advice people can use to quickly look at their audience, know what's going to appeal to them, and how to tailor your sales pitch so that it's really going to be motivationally what is these people will find the most persuasive.
I'm so looking forward to having that. And frankly, I wish I hadn't set the format of this show up to be only 10, 12 minutes. I wish we had 60, because something would tell me that we could really glean.
We could fill it.
Yeah, we could fill it and glean a tremendous amount from you. I want to thank you for taking a moment to speak with us today at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. I look forward, as I'm sure our listeners do, to reading your work in the upcoming issue of I Carry the Bag magazine. And we certainly, certainly would hope to have you back at some future date. Thank you, Dr. Halverson.
Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you.